Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Styling Soul podcast, where we give you inspiration for your style and wellness for your soul. I am your host, Kendra Monet. So if you are ready to start living a life that actually feels as good as it looks, all while staying up to date with the industry news, you are in the right place. Let's get into the show.
Be self-reflective.
That blue represents millions of dollars and countless jobs.
Fill yourself up and keep your cup full.
Also, I believe in shea butter as a core value.
There's a supreme moment of destiny.
Hello, everybody. I hope that you are feeling well, that this message greets you with a little bit of weight lifted off of your shoulders. It has been, for us Americans, child. 2021 has started off crazy, but we have some good news for some of us, for most of us. We're feeling pretty good because we're just coming off of the inauguration and the looks, honey. The looks were everything. We're going to talk about those looks. But, you know, it's just been a crazy time. And as I was reflecting on the season that we're in as a country, as a globe, as the world, you know, it seems like we've been in a crazy time for a while now. And then it got me thinking that maybe things are just always crazy, but we've been literally sitting at home for almost a calendar year now. So we just have more time to think about it. We just have more time to dwell on how crazy things are. But in fact, things are always a little raggedy outside, you know, so we can't wait on things to calm down in order to move on with our lives. We can't wait for everything to settle, for the dust to settle, for your ducks to be all in a row, and then you can release what you have into the world. No. We need it now, because what if your life never calms down? You know, it's easy to say, oh, I'm going to launch this when this is over, or when I have more money, or when things are just prettier. But what if this is as calm as it gets? Like, what if you never had more free time than you have right now? I mean, I think if that were the case, then you would really regret procrastinating and waiting for the sweet spot to move forward, you know? Take this conversation that I get to share with you guys today with Robin Watkins. So she's the founder of Holistic Beauty Group. And she's actually the brains behind a lot of big player brands. And we're going to get into the details of all of the amazing things that she's done in a little bit. But she's the real deal. And now might not seem like the perfect time to share. You know, we just had a historic inauguration. We're still losing people to this pandemic. And people are just generally not well. But I think we all deserve a break. Don't we all just deserve a moment of fashion news and beauty updates and a little inspiration? I think we do. So that brings me back to the point of not waiting any longer than you have to. You know, that thing you have to offer, we need it. It could be the answer to our serious problems, or maybe it could just be a much appreciated mental vacation. So I assure you, you're going to learn so much in this conversation with Robin. She's super sweet and super smart and humble, and she's just an overall go-getter. Her story is super inspiring. Her beauty career is definitely something that you can take notes on if you're interested in product development or developing a line of your own. And even if you're just a bit of a skincare nerd, or you want to learn more about beauty products and the ingredients that go into them, we discuss all of that. Like, what is clean beauty? Is science in your skincare good? What ingredients should you stay away from? We answer all of those questions and more. So we're going to get all into that good stuff. But you already know, first things first, it's industry tea time.
The tea is exceptionally good today. Who made this? Very delicious. Hold on.
In fashion news, we are right on the cusp of Fashion Month and New York Fashion Week. And guess what? New York Fashion Week and the subsequent fashion weeks around the world will be here in February. And IMG has been named the official editorial partner of TikTok Fashion Month. Now, IMG is one of the largest modeling agencies in the world. 7 out of the 10 highest paid models on the Forbes list are represented by IMG. So this collaboration is pretty noteworthy for a few reasons. One, TikTok has a fashion month, so that's a thing. And this collaboration really legitimizes it. So to me, it's a sign to take TikTok seriously as an outlet. So with this collaboration, TikTok is really positioning itself as a major destination for New York Fashion Week and Milan Fashion Week and Paris Fashion Week. And honestly, I've been a little reluctant to get involved with TikTok because, you know, I don't know how y'all have the time to do such intense video editing, but I'm feeling like now I have to at least pull up in order to stay on the pulse of content, you know? Like, does my lack of TikTok engagement mean I'm an out-of-touch auntie? Like, I'm an auntie regardless. That's fine with me. I've accepted that a long time ago. I'm gonna bring my auntie purse with me everywhere I go. That's okay. But, like, am I out of touch now? Must I sift through millions of high school and college students doing the same choreographed dances in order to engage with TikTok Fashion Month? These are the questions I'm asking myself right now. You know, TikTok really boomed in the height of COVID-19 lockdowns when people really had the time, but it's really looking like it's here to stay. So maybe I should re-download my app so I can tune into IMG and watch them turn runway shows into 10 seconds of just amazement. In fashion news, y'all, the fashion at the inauguration was fashioning, okay? So we had First Lady Jill Biden, who looked gorgeous in her light blue. She was wearing Alexandra O'Neal. That's an American designer. She had blue leather gloves. She had the blue mask to match. I mean, everybody was really rocking the monochromatic looks. Like, I don't know if there was a memo, but they were serving Olivia Pope realness. We also had Kamala Harris. She was wearing purple. And as you know, purple, when politicians wear that, especially for moments like the inauguration, it's a really big sign of unity. You know, Republicans and Democrats in America have been really, really far apart lately. So I believe, you know, Kamala was wearing the purple to try and signify the unity. And she was also putting on for American designers and Black American designers at that, wearing Christopher John Rogers and Sergio Hudson, while Michelle Obama and her plus one Barack, because, I mean, she really stole the show. She looked amazing. And she was also wearing Sergio Hudson. And even Jill Biden and Jill Biden's granddaughters were also rocking the monochromatic looks in cream and tan and an all pink look. Like, I wish I had the details on that, because they really had made, like, I want to go get a long coat and a pantsuit now. I know I can't be the only one. And there's also honorable mention to Madam VP's stepdaughter. She's a Parsons student. Shout out to Parsons. Ella Imhoff. She looks so chic in a Mewy Mewy preppy look. So the fashions at the inauguration, 10 out of 10. And finally, in beauty news, I need everybody to run over to ampbeautyla.com. That's ampbeautyla.com. They're a client of mine, but Amp Beauty LA is one of the largest, if not the largest, e-commerce platform for Black-owned brands. They currently carry only Black-owned brands, but in the future, we'll be expanding to other minority-owned businesses. But it is your one-stop shop for hair, skincare, body care. There's so much body care, body scrubs, candles, home goods, all of that good stuff from Black-owned brands. So instead of wondering, asking around, where can you find it, there is now a new one-stop shop at AntBeautyLA.com.
Lemony. Best day of tea since the show began.
Thank you so much for agreeing to chat with me. So let's just jump into it. If you could tell, well, first I will do my best to introduce you.
Okay.
So we have Robin Watkins here. She is the founder of, let me make sure I got this right. She is the founder of a holistic beauty group. And so it's a leading product development consultancy specializing in clean beauty and wellness. And she has done product development expertise for several brands like Smashbox Cosmetics, Pattern Beauty, Sagely Naturals, Verskin, and that's just to name a few of them. And she's a product developer,
product developer, but also a bit of a thought leader. And she's been a driving force behind the industry's trend towards clean beauty, sustainability. And I know that's such a buzzword these days, but it's really not something that's new to you. So you have a lot of knowledge and I cannot wait to get into it.
Thank you so much for having me. As you mentioned, yes, I'm now the founder of Holistic Beauty Group. I started this consultancy about almost going on 3 years, actually, in 2021, but for about 2 years. And so Holistic Beauty Group is an external product development consultancy. And what we do is we help brands navigate through the beauty and wellness landscape. So we pretty much help brands navigate through their product launches from concept to consumer. So there's so many aspects of product development. It's not just the formulation. It's not just the packaging. But behind the scenes, we really tackle a lot of the things that aren't so pretty, like regulatory, you know, label artwork, working with toxicologists, doing safety testing, doing clinical study design. You know, we work with attorneys all the time on IP, formulation ownership. So there's a lot that goes in. And so, yeah, that's a little bit about what we do. And so we work with emerging brands. So brands that are getting ready to really make their big break in terms of retail, we help them level up. And then we also work with, you know, globally recognized, you know, mature brands as well.
So how did you get here? How was this always your plan? Tell me a bit about your education, your background before becoming a beauty developer.
Yeah. And so the funny thing is that, you know, I've been listening to certain podcasts and stuff, and a lot of people in product development sort of like fell into it, right? That's not my story. It's really not. And so it's just funny looking back and sort of viewing it, but pretty much like growing up, my mom sold Avon. Okay. So I was a latchkey kid. And one of my first jobs was to come home and unpack her orders. She would have, you know, boxes to the ceiling, and she was actually very successful. It was her side hustle. And so she worked at a law firm during the day and sold Avon on the train on the way home and on the way in. And so I got to really experience product firsthand. And so, you know, I would open up those boxes. I would, you know, look at the lipsticks. I would swatch them. I would smell the bubble bath. I would look at the packaging, and I could tell when they like changed something. And, you know, I really grew my love of product there. And then, you know, I became a child makeup artist. I literally at the age of 14, I got a job at Glamour Shots. They fired me when they found out I lied about my age. By the time I was 18, I was literally shutting down my professional makeup artistry company, because I was like, I don't want to stand on my feet doing weddings anymore. This is whack. How can I get behind the scenes of this industry? And I was in local college studying international business, and I was in my second year, and my sister called me, and she was in law school at the time. She was going to Howard Law School. And she said, look, don't do what I'm doing. Do something you love. Let's figure this out. And she actually found two schools for me, FIT in New York and FIDM in LA. And so they both had well-established beauty programs that were kind of, you know, in the niche, like not many people really knew about. And so, you know, I took the decision to stay on the West Coast, be close to my mom, who was a recent widow at the time. So I was able to sort of pursue my passion, be at home, close to home. And I really went in full throttle. I got selected to be a part of a group of beauty students that went to travel to New York. We got to sit in meetings with the heads of product development at Estee Lauder. We got to tour the La Mer factory and see the broth tank. We got to meet with industry leading perfumers. I got to, you know, actually sit into the boardroom at Avon, which is a full 360 moment for me. And I was like, well, I got to see firsthand, oh, this is what product development is. I saw women in their power. Like I saw, you know, I met Annie Carullo, who was like the big head boss at Estee Lauder, like just shooting it straight. And was like, look, this is what we do. And I knew, I was like, this is where I want to be. I want to do product development, but I really want to stay on the West Coast, because at that time, New York was king. Like pretty much it was the hub of the whole industry. And so you either had to move there or you weren't really going to make it. And so I was scrappy. I ended up getting a job with some indie brands on the West Coast. I started off doing, and this is while still in school, I was working with Dana Decker, developing fragrances, fine natural fragrances, which was really hard to do back then. Now it's more easy because people are more accepting in terms of natural. But you know, by the time I finished that program, I had my full-time job. And I just never looked back. I ended up working in the niche sort of fragrance world for a couple seasons, then moved into spa. I worked on Spa Ritual, which was a huge blessing. I got to work with ingredients and formulas and work on the packaging. And we were in the lab. We had our own testing spa. And it was, I was just like running the whole show. And it was just like, you know, I was pretty young and I was just doing my thing. And I just really just was never looked back. And I was so passionate about good products is, again, you know, growing up, I was touching them and feeling them and experiencing them. And then sort of made my way through mass. I got to work with Black Radiance, which is a color cosmetics brand. So I had product development and marketing there for just 1 year. It wasn't for me. I learned a lot there. But I think what I left with was the wisdom of knowing that I really cared deeply about ingredients and ingredient safety and all of that stuff. So I was like, you know what? If I'm going to continue in this industry, I want to make products that I feel comfortable using. And you know what? I wouldn't mind giving to my mom to use and all of that. And so I was recruited to go to Arbonne. They called me up and they were like, look, we've been watching your career. We know you can do this. You have every single category. You've done personal care. You've done spa. You've done color. Come with us, head beauty and personal care. And that's what I did. I had a whole team. You know, I covered lots of different, you know, very successful product launches. But I think one of the things that I really got to really deep dive into there was ingredient policy. And so, you know, I was the leader of the ingredient policy committee. We were ahead of our time. We were reformulating products that, you know, well before they became, you know, problematic in terms of the eyes of the consumer. And I think that's where I learned that clean beauty, it's never ending. It's an ongoing proactive process of really unpacking the science and understanding what is the toxicity and exposure that we are really putting ourselves through with these products. How can we do better, really, in short, in creating products that are efficacious, that, you know, are good for us and also okay for the planet? So, you know, I kid you not, I had pitched a project while at Arbonne called the Clean Beauty Project in like 2014. And it was so funny because we were like, wow, if we would have, you know, I always think back on that, we crack up, but it's, I was so passionate about it. And then, you know, I ended up going to Estee Lauder once Arbonne sold to Yves Rocher. And, you know, I had a great career there, went to Estee Lauder, it was fast and furious. I worked under Jill Tamandel at Smashbox, shout out to Smashbox, great team, super diverse team as well. I stepped in and I was like, this is the only time in my career where I haven't been the only one. Okay. Wow. Like it was like very amazing working with such creative and strong women. Now, when I got there within a couple of weeks, I was on a plane, you know, I was in Italy. I was constantly traveling. It was amazing, but at the same time, I was kind of coming into my life a little bit more as, you know, as a mother. I have two sons. And, you know, I started to see myself outside. I was started to envision myself, how can I bring all of my experience in a way that aligns to me and my spirit and what I want to do in this career and in this life. And I started to really want to connect to my purpose more. And it's risky when you start thinking that way, because I had really built up my career and I had made it to the top. I had made it to Estee Lauder. And so people were like, yo, like, you're going to give up those benefits. You're going to do that. And I got like so much shade from people that I know. And people were just like, you're going to be a consultant. And I was like, yeah, I think I want to own my own time. I think I want to redesign my life. I think I want to do the work that I want to do. I think, you know, I have a lot of good I also saw, to also be really honest, I saw what was going on outside the window. And I was like, I saw clean beauty coming. And I was like, there is a wave of brands that are going to meet this consumer's need that you know, the big brands are ignoring. And I could see it. And I was like, I want to be a part of that wave. And then I was like, you know what? I am the wave. I am the wave, sis.
I'm yes, you are the wave. I love that.
So I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. I jumped in. I took on my first client and it was an 8-month engagement. And I told my boss at the time at Smashbox that I was going to resign and redesign my life. And I was met with so much grace with that decision. And they said, you know what? Since you're going to consult, can we hire you as a consultant? And I was like, yes. So they're my second client. And
that is amazing. That's a crazy scenario when you leave your job to start your own business is that they hire you too. You're like,
yeah. So they helped me runway myself and they supported me for a long time. They, you know, just recently we just ended our contract and it's been such an amazing supportive partnership. And so with that being said, you know, how I ended here is, you know, I took that 17 years of experience. I knew I could do more. I knew I could do more than just sit in meetings all day, right? Because that's what happens in the corporate landscape. And you know what? I knew that I could really be this wave and be a part of this wave. It was like my heart, it was calling me. And I wanted to really stand in my purpose and I just felt like I could do it. And so I really did not imagine that it would end up to where it is now. You know, I kept saying to myself, is this a fluke that I'm like doing okay? And all these things. And my friends were like, it's not a fluke. You should have did this a long time ago. And I think I just stepped into this consultancy at the right time when people were changing their own business structure. And, you know, a lot of brands that, you know, do have product development teams, you know, still work with me because they just need a senior brain on it sometimes. And, you know, they may have people who can execute, but they don't have the strategy. And so I'm able to do that for brands and it's really great. So yeah, that's my little story.
Wow. That is so amazing. One is very inspiring and shout out to you for taking the leap. Cause so many of us can just stay and live with the idea for so long. I love that you said that Avon was that your mom was the Avon lady, because it really made me realize like, wow, my first experience, I guess, with beauty products too, was Avon, because my best friend's mom was the Avon lady. So we would always be going through all of the products and everything, and all those little things can just influence you. And I would just see my mom taking the time to put on her night cream. And I didn't really know what she was doing, but I was like, oh, I need a night cream too. You know? So it's so interesting to see how, we can get inspired that way. But you really met the clean beauty wave. Like you came at the perfect time because now you see how much it is in demand. So to you, what is clean beauty? And then also, does clean beauty and natural beauty always go hand in hand? Or can we add some science in there and still remain clean? Because I know a lot of times people will look at a product and if they don't recognize the ingredients, then you immediately shoo it off as bad. But what's the truth behind that?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there is no real, you know, definition, standardized definition of clean beauty, but what it is, it's intentional. It's intentionality around creating a product. So it's intentionally making formulas that are non-toxic. And when I say non-toxic, I mean free of CMRs, like carcinogens, mutagens, reproductive toxins. Yes, that is a thing. These are ingredients that are banned in the EU. So having that lens from the beginning, like we're going to avoid these ingredients. We're going to put our, you know, stake in the sand and just like not use these ingredients. They're easy to use.
So they're banned in the EU, but not in the US.
Not all of them, unfortunately. Okay. So that in the EU, there's about 1400 plus ingredients, chemicals that are banned in personal care products and cosmetics that are not banned here in the US. I think we have under 80 ingredients banned. And so there's a lot of work that's being moved, you know, to try to get us to a better place. But in the meantime, I think this is why clean beauty really resonates here in North America, because we don't have those guardrails that other nations do, unfortunately. So it's up to us to kind of do our research and kind of know what we want to, you know, stand behind is from a product perspective. So there is the intentional non-toxic approach, right? So that's one pillar of clean beauty. The other thing is intentional sourcing. and you know, ethical supply chain, and also environmental toxicity. So avoiding ingredients that, you know, destroy the earth, okay, or cause deforestation, or, you know, ingredients that bioaccumulate that end up in the waterways and things like that. So that's also a portion of it. And then obviously under that umbrella of sustainability, there's packaging, right? So from an upstream perspective, you know, how are we picking our packaging? You know, are we using post-consumer recycled, you know, plastics or glass or aluminum? And then downstream, are we educating the consumer on how to recycle this package, right? Because that's actually a big gap we found here in the US, and kind of just doing that work. And I think, you know, clean beauty is going beyond just safe for the skin and safe for the environment and sustainable sourcing, but now we see this conscious element, right? So conscious meaning, you know, how are you communicating to your customer? Are you telling little fibs? Are you like doing a lot of marketing? Or are you being transparent and honest? And transparency is really always linked to, oh, ingredient listings. And it's, yeah, but it should be right anyway. It really should be right anyway. So for me, transparency is like that narrative that you're telling your customer. Are you really telling your customer that you need this cream because if you don't have it, you're not going to be beautiful? Like that's the old narrative that we see brands starting to break away from. And I also think, you know, in the days of products sort of saying, oh, with, you know, let's just making it up, with vitamin C, it's a vitamin C story, all these like oranges on your packaging and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But then you come to find out the vitamin C is at 0.001% and it's fairy dust. So that's not transparent, right? That's not conscious. So I think there's that element. And then now we are also seeing like this social activism as well on the shelf. So brands like Creole Essence, shout out to Creole Essence, they do a great job with that as far as like their castor oil. They get it from Haiti, where they're from, and they're creating a commerce with that, you know, conscious commerce with that. So it's, we can do so much with beauty. And I think in terms of clean, it's really about making sure you're intentional from the beginning and you're making these conscious and mindful decisions around human safety, environmental safety, sustainability, and also transparency with your customer.
Definitely, because especially as consumers, I'm trying to be more conscious because these are things that we need to buy and love to buy, but it's like, what is the impact? Or like, okay, this box was cute, but it came with six layers and now I'm throwing it away. So yeah, those are all things to think about. When it comes to ingredients, what are some ingredients that you are like, please, please stop putting this on your face or in your hair?
Yeah, so there's, I had fun. I was thinking about this, and I think in general for skin, you want to stay away from anything that's overly stripping, that strips the barrier, because we're going through a phase as a humanity almost where we're dealing with lack of barrier function. So this is why we have so much sensitive skin now, why we have premature aging now, why we have more hormonal breakouts and all this stuff is because we're up against climate change and pollution and stress. And so all those things sort of like wreak havoc on the skin. And if we don't have a strong skin barrier, then it really can, you know, do damage. And so really protecting and babying your skin barrier is so important. So ingredients like that you want to avoid would be like sulfates, SLS, SLES, harsh alcohols such as isopropyl alcohol or SD40 alcohol, which is special denatured alcohol. So you want to avoid those. And then as far as like endocrine disrupting ingredients, obviously you want to stay away from parabens of all types. You want to stay away from PEGs if you can. PEGs are ethoxylates. They're ethoxylated ingredients, which means that they're linked directly to ethylene oxide, which is a known carcinogen. So we want to stay away from stuff like that. I think we also want to stay away from environmental toxins, like I said before. So microbeads, although we love those scrubby, like, you know, formulas, like read the label. If it's not like natural or bamboo charcoal or something like that, we want to look at it because those microbeads do not disintegrate and end up in the fish and like wildlife and marine life. And they're really super toxic. And then there's like, you know, things that we have to think like the major bad bad ingredients that really don't exist as much in products anymore. But every now and then you're like, wait, what? Like toluene, formaldehyde, you know, or some coal tar, mineral oil. So those are some that are like kind of the known bad ones that really should not be in products anymore. And then I think for us, women of color, Black women especially, we want to be conscious about retinol palmitate, retinol, hydroquinone, things like that, that are like the quick fix for our hyperpigmentation in dark spots. But over time, it could cause more sensitivity and you become more prone to hyperpigmentation. So it's a vicious cycle I've gone through personally. So I think those are things that we need to be conscious of as melanated people. And then, so I think those are some that I can think of that are kind of, you know, on my do not list.
Wow. So everybody is like retinol, 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 but you need to be careful about the strength that you're using, right?
Yeah, just it's not something that you want to use continuously over time. So it's great if you need to correct something, right? But it's like once you've gotten to that place where you're satisfied, go back to something a little bit more mild and give your skin a break off of it. Because what retinol does, it really pushes up your cell turnover rate really fast. So it makes your cells turnover at a rate that is not normal. So it's great if you like, you know, need to clean it up, which I totally get. I use it here and there, but ongoing every day for years and years, I think, you know, it can't be good. So,
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. What about hyaluronic acid? I know everyone's like this, you put this on your face and you're going to be so moisturized. And what do you think about hyaluronic acid?
Yeah. I mean, you know, when hyaluronic acid became trendy, I was like, me and some, you know, industry people were kind of scratching our heads because we have been using it all this time. Like it's a, what we call a workhorse ingredient. It's kind of a base ingredient. We use it all the time. We naturally produce hyaluronic acid. It's naturally occurring in the human body. And yes, using it topically helps to, it's a humectant. It helps to trap moisture in, keep moisture in and really attract moisture into the skin cells. It's a good ingredient. Now, I'm nothing wrong with it. One thing though, that's interesting about the clean beauty wave and the kind of the confusion with clean beauty, meaning natural, hyaluronic acid isn't always natural. Sometimes it's synthetic. So there's vitamin C, which can also be synthetic because 100% natural vitamin C is not stable in formulas at all. So the derivative form, the actual stable form is synthetic. Hyaluronic acid is usually synthetic. Yes, there's other ingredients too. Like there's this snow mushroom that's like 5,000 times more moisturizing than hyaluronic acid that was developed by this lab called Next Steps. It's also Black owned. And, you know, there's a lot of other things out there that people don't talk about that hopefully, you know, become more interesting topics as well. But yes, to hyaluronic acid, I think it's definitely a workhorse.
That's super interesting. But the way we're hearing about it now is more of a marketing situation.
Yeah, because consumers are searching for it. So, you know, in development, people are, you know, listening to consumers. And so if the consumer is, it used to be that we listened to celebrities or editors like yourself or like, you know, trendsetters, we'd be like, okay, well, they want this, they're asking for this. Now it's like we listen to the consumer through all of these tools. You know, we can listen through Google and people are searching for hyaluronic acid. And it's just like, it's its own thing. Like you have to have hyaluronic acid. And people are almost like, it's almost like if a product doesn't have it, they like question if it's going to be as effective, but there's a lot of great moisturizers outside of hyaluronic acid, but there's nothing wrong with it. I think it's a great ingredient. Definitely. I use it almost in everything as well.
Yeah. And I think it's great that you talked about protecting the skin barrier because I know I had a bout with acne. And so my first thing was like, okay, let me get the salicylic, however I say it, acid and astringents. And I was like, maybe I need to wash my face more often. And all of that made my acne worse. But when I focused on, okay, let me try and create a more of a moisture situation and create a better skin barrier and make sure that I'm wearing sunscreen, SPF, then exactly. My skin got so much better. And so I think
I agree.
Yeah. So sometimes we're just being so rough on it, but we just actually need to take it easy. But so do you do any natural remedies? Are you somebody that's going to do like a honey and turmeric mask or.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm that girl. Like I, as much product as I'm around, I'm drowning in product. I'm very super simple and super natural. You know, I use shea butter. I use Moroccan black soap. I use Dead Sea salt. So my ritual is that I do Ambianga, which is the Ayurvedic, you know, ritual of self-oiling, where you basically give yourself a massage from the feet up to really start circulation. And then I slide into my Dead Sea salt bath. I use essential oils. You know, I soak, I do my hydrotherapy, and then I, you know, apply my black soap and then jump into the shower and scrub it off. And, you know, that's one thing that I now do. I really try to honor some of these more ancient practices that we've done as a people to kind of bring myself back into alignment. So using products as like therapy for myself a little bit versus just all the vanity things. So I really have to, especially with kids and I'm busy, like I find that to be like my sanctuary moment. And then, you know, as far as like just do it yourself, definitely turmeric. I should do that more. I've had a friend just tell me recently because I struggle with all kinds of skin issues. And so she was like, oh yeah, you need to do a turmeric and honey and rasal clay. And I'm like, you know what? I'm on it. Bet. Like I'm going to do that. And so I'm definitely that person. I love natural remedies. I will take, this is really taking it to the extreme, but okra is a great ingredient, obviously internally because it's detoxifying. But if you take the okra gel, that could be really great for skin as well. So I do all kinds of funny things.
So how do you get the okra gel? Do you boil it in the water and then strain it?
Yep. Like you would do a flaxseed gel kind of.
Yeah. I've seen that. And I was wondering about it because I was like, that makes sense because okra has like that, it's kind of gel, that slime almost to it. Yes. So then you use that as a moisturizer.
Yeah. Well, I would use it as a little mask at night just to sort of treat the skin. And it's great if your skin acts up, you know? And so I think, you know, stuff like that, I really love to do. Some of my favorite products. One of my favorite products, products that I love in general, products that have a healing intention.
Yeah.
So I love Honey Pot products. You know, I know that they're popular now. There was the whole like Target thing. And I saw that and I was like, wow. But I've been following that brand for a long time. And I absolutely love the feminine wash and the herbal pads. And if you are on your menses and you try these herbal pads, they're life-changing. They're so healing. They feel so good. And it's like,
wow,
like she really created a healing product for women. And so I love stuff like that. That's one of my favorite products, even though it's like an herbal pad, but I love stuff like that. And then, you know, how do we create something that heals is the next generation, I think, in terms of clean. It has to be functional, not just vanity. But how is it helping you heal on a daily basis? And I think that's what I want to see more of.
Yeah, instead of these quick fixes. Like, I love that your ritual involves like bathing as a ritual to be well. My little New York City tub is like not the place for it, but I love a good bath and to take that time to just use beauty as wellness because it can be when we're not using it to tell ourselves that we need to change or that we're not good enough.
Yeah.
So I also want to ask you, as jumping into being a business owner, so how has that journey been? Also, did you work with Tracy Ellis Ross on Pattern Beauty as a consultant, or was that prior to starting Holistic Beauty Group?
No, I worked on Pattern as a consultant. And that was a great experience because, you know, in all of my, you know, at that time I was in like year 16 of my experience. I had never, if you could believe it or not, had the opportunity to create a product for me.
Wow.
I was always creating products for, okay, here's the target market, 40-year-old white woman, lives in Midwest, boom, boom, boom. And, you know, I was used to that. It didn't faze me. It was like, okay, I'll make that product for her. It's no problem. Like I was creating products for everyone else. You know, everyone else. Okay. But me. Wow. And so that was the first time where it was like, no, you're the target market. We need your hair type. We need you to test these products on you. And I would say that was such a beautiful moment for me, because being able to actually see myself as the consumer meant a lot. And you would think that I had already been on that journey, but it was like, we were always an afterthought, you know, like when I was creating stuff, it was like, oh, and we need some dark stuff too, or we need, you know, it was never like, it is all about celebrating Black hair in its natural state with no manipulation.
Yes.
That's what Patterns is about. It's about honoring your natural curl pattern, no matter how tight and tightly textured or loose or curly or whatever it is. Because, you know, oftentimes as curly girls, we want to like use all these products to try to make our curls elongated and this and that. And it's like, in the end, it's like, oh, just, this is too much. Yeah. It's just like, look, free yourself. And that narrative switch for me was huge. And so I did work on Pattern. I worked on very closely with the team there. They're fabulous. You know, and I think one of my favorite things about it was being involved in a movement towards changing the narrative around how we looked at ourselves and how we were presented products as Black people. Because if you notice, if you watch the feed and all of that stuff, it's very celebratory of Black women. And, you know, it's no in between, it's no confusion. It's very like, look, this is for us. And I think Tracy's vision was very clear. And she really wanted to birth something that can impact those little girls that didn't always see themselves. Or it was like, okay, these are curly products, but only if you had like good hair or whatever, right? Or like, it was like perfect, you know, it stuff that you'd be like, it's gonna take me 5 years to get there. Yeah. So it was like changing that whole narrative, like come where you are in your journey. It doesn't matter if you're in a protective style or what you're doing, but come get these products that are good for your hair. It was all about moisture. And, you know, it was a fun ride. You know, I still have a really great relationship with the team. I'm no longer working on it as closely, but, you know, I've been able to help put some talent in place. And there's someone there now who is a star, who is doing such a great job on Pattern. And so they are like family, and it's been a glorious ride and journey to kind of see how everything is manifested. So yeah, it was a great experience.
Amazing. So I do also love that what she said about Pattern was embracing your curl pattern. Cause so often, you know, when I'm looking at products, I read a lot of reviews. And so yeah. Often, if anyone has anything negative to say, they're saying basically that it did not transform your hair from 4C to 3B. And it's like, you're looking, I think so much of us have been brainwashed when we, especially starting the natural hair movement. I know I big chopped in 2011, I think, I big chopped 2011. And I think everybody assumed that we would just big chop and our hair would just grow into these perfect spirals and I would have a wet and wavy look. And then I was like, oh, wait, hold on a second. But so much of the beginning of the natural movement, I really think was, and of course we celebrate that hair, those hair textures as well. But I think it was all about trying to manipulate your kinky hair to be as wavy and curl and, you know, looser curled as it could be. And I love that Pattern is embracing the kinks and the texture, because that's what we need to do. That's what your hair is going to be at the end of the day. You just need products to enhance it and bring it out.
Yeah. And, you know, I will say, you know, to anyone who's listening, you know, as far as products go, don't sleep on the tools. Don't sleep on the tools. The Pattern tools are like,
I was eyeing them. I was eyeing the brush, the detangling brush. Okay. Yeah,
they're bomb. I mean, the brush, the pick. Okay. The pick. Oh my God. And then this edge tool, there's like, and they're all very high quality, high, heavy, like materials. Don't sleep on the tools. They're amazing. They're life-changing. Love the tools. So definitely, like, if anything, just pick up. Because I think what I've learned with messing around with textured hair products and working on products is it really comes down to technique, you know?
1,000%.
I can honestly make a lot of conditioners work if I apply them right. And there is a certain technique that I learned from a curly hair salon where it changed my whole approach, and it actually led me to having to use like less products. And it really is like technique. And so if you have the right tools, you get really good results in, you know, with a good technique. So
anyway. I've learned that it's more about what you do than what you use. Of course you do want your products to be good, but how you do your hair that's what, you know, leads the results. So yeah. I also want to ask you, what other products are you loving? What's in your cabinet right now that you're using?
Well, I have mentioned I love Honey Pot. I love Undefined, everything. So Undefined, look them up. It's a brand that's owned by Dorian Morris. Okay. One of my favorite products is the Glow Elixir. It's a rose, rose hip based oil. That's, you know, it's an oil that you can use everywhere. Like you can use it on your skin, on your hair, on your body. And it's just done so well. It has full spectrum CBD in it as well. But it was one of those products when I was on like my whole CBD kick that really stuck, because I tried a lot of products with CBD and I even worked on products with CBD. And this is the only one that stuck. This is the one that I was like, you know what? I can't live without this. Like, it's so bomb. Like, you can mix it in your foundation and it's great for skin that's sensitive, problematic skin, because it's just not, it doesn't like clog your pores or anything like that. I think also oldie but goodie, the Smashbox Studio Skin Foundation. It's just, you know what that is, because I honestly have worked on a lot of foundations, and I've also have tested a lot of foundations, and I don't really love wearing foundation. And that is still to this day, I think, the best foundation. It really is. It is very natural. You know, there's a lot of shades. Smashbox was inclusive in terms of the shade count a long time ago. It's just, you know, certain brands just didn't get credit for it or whatever, but they always had the shades. And so now I kind of went back to it recently. I hadn't used it in a while. And I was like, you know what? This is everything. It's so lightweight. It looks so natural. It's so beautiful. And I've seen firsthand how it's made. It's made with a lot of love and a lot of process, if you will, in Belgium. And it's not like, yeah, it's not made in China, all this stuff. It's like made in Belgium with like glass from Italy. Like they put so much love into that product, and you know what, it shows. And so that's one of my favorites. You know what else I love that's actually come through is the Lip Bar Fast Face Kit. Have you tried that?
I have not.
It's so good. So especially for Zoom calls, right? Because I got my Fast Face Kit like right before COVID hit. And
I know that came in handy.
It literally does take 5 to 7 minutes to apply it. In fact, I'm like wearing it now or whatever.
It has everything that you need?
Yeah, it has like a blush. I still use my Studio Skin, but it's like the blush. It has the brow, it has a liner, it has a lip. It's literally in this cute bag. It is very affordable. And I'm like, man, Melissa Butler, come through. Like, this saved a girl. Like, I use it anytime I need to like do something quick. And it also, like, you look snatched. Like, I think that is like, and there's so many shades for us. It's one of my favorite like color products right now to use. And it's just like, it's natural, it's fun. And so that's how I sort of got into Lip Bar, because I'm not a huge lip person anymore. But I was like, let me try this Fast Face. And
Who is when we're wearing masks every day? So
yeah, I love, love, love that. So those are a few of my favorite products right now.
Nice. So good to know. And then finally, as going from being an employee to running your own business, what have you learned along the journey? And I feel like I have a very entrepreneurial audience. And what advice do you have for anyone else who's ready to take the leap?
Okay, so number one, you have to believe in yourself. And I know it sounds so cliche, and people have told me this my whole entire life, but when you actually do believe in yourself, it really sets the stage. It's like you just have to put those blinders on and just go for it. You have to also surround yourself or get advice or talk to people who are on the other side. Okay. So people who have made that leap, you have to talk to those people. Don't talk to people who are still employees or still working for somebody, because they're going to give you bad advice. They're going to tell you not to do it. They're going to give you all this fear talk. You have to talk to people who are doing it. So one of the first people that I called was, you know, I have this literally like one of my better friends, he's Jamaican. Okay. And he has like this company and he's always been like a hustler and he's always been like entrepreneurial and successful. And he was like, don't worry about it. Get that office, do that. That's nothing. Like he always like pumped me up. Anyway, I would say definitely surround yourself with people who are on the other side. And then the third piece of advice, no family, no friends. Sorry, like family and friends. I got caught up in that a lot in my first year, trying to help family and friends. And it ended up being, it did not work out for me very well, because they'll never like respect who you are and what you're doing in your field as much as people who are coming to you because they know your value and they know what you've been doing and they've been following your career and they're willing to pay the money. So, you know, I was trying to do a little family and friends in my first year, and it did definitely bite me in the butt. It was just a time suck, you know, and all of that stuff. So I would say if you can avoid getting into projects with family and friends, unless you're partnering up from an entrepreneurial standpoint. And then let's see, you have to choose. This was some very good advice that a friend told me when I was on that cusp of leaving corporate America. And I was like, but I really feel like I have purpose and I really feel like I want to do this. And I kept talking about it. And she is like a Reiki healer and a crystal, you know, goddess and all this stuff, and leads these like really great retreats, and that's her business. And you know, her life to me was like very illuminated. And I was like, I kind of just want to be free like you, you know? And she was like, look, because she also came from a corporate background. She was in, I think, entertainment or something, worked for a big studio. And she was saying to me, you have to choose. You can't always do both. I know we like to side hustle and that's okay, but you kind of at one point or another, you have to choose like who you're going to give your time to. How are you going to live? What do you want your life to look like? You know, how do you want to wake up and feel? All these things, you got to get clear about it and you have to choose. And I chose that, you know what? I didn't want to drive, you know, wake up and have to do a commute for 2 hours anymore. I didn't want to, you know, have to sit in these meetings and do all this stuff anymore. I didn't want to do it anymore. And so although choosing sometimes is risky, it's actually not if you actually just set up some foundation for yourself, get yourself that one account or do something, and then give yourself, you know, 8 months to a year to build your business. And I think, you know, it's all possible now, especially with the internet. And when you know good people and you have a network, but you have to choose.
That is a word right there. Might have even been talking to me a little bit. So good. Well, thank you so much for your time, Robin. This has been such an amazing conversation.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here. I give thanks. Thank you.
So many takeaways and just cool learning points and talking points from this conversation with Robin. But I think the biggest takeaway from me is to just really trust your gut. I mean, when you have a nudge about something like she did, I mean, she was pitching clean beauty in 2014 when nobody was even trying to hear it. And she really met the moment when she started her consulting agency to direct brands in this direction. And she was able to be there right at the time that she needed it. And she also said something that was really great. Sometimes you have to talk to people that have been there before. We can't always go to our friends who are exactly where we are, or our coworkers who may not understand. Sometimes you have to take the leap and maybe get some advice from someone who's taken the leap as well. So that was another amazing conversation in the books. Thank you so much for listening to the Styling Soul podcast, and I'll see you right here next week.